Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. This is my second year at Fosdem. This is my first time talking, so thank you very much for listening to me. How's everyone feeling Friday afternoon? Can I have a... Yeah, Sunday afternoon, sorry, no, no. Okay, I'll try and keep the energy up. I'm Peter Dudfield. I'm head of technology at Open Climate Fix, and it's quite a long title, but I'm going to talk to you a little about what we're up to and some of the challenges we have. And I'm going to try and do a little live demo. I feel like today's a good excuse to do a live demo. So as I said, just I'll give a little introduction into what Open Climate Fix are and what we do. Why we've focused on solar forecasting. We do some other things as well, but mostly solar forecasting. And our kind of flagship thing, Quartz Solar, a little bit more, and kind of we'll get to the end on some new things that we want to do. I'm going to try and talk for 10 minutes, and then there'll be some time for questions as well. So Open Climate Fix, we were founded 5 years ago. I haven't seen this GIF thing before, so you might get distracted. And there's a few people you'll see in the pictures that are around the room here today. We're a not-for-profit. We're focusing, we're doing open source solutions. We're focusing on AI solutions to help decarbonize the grid. Various experience across the board. Our two founders pop up there, and I think some of you might know them. There's 15 of us in London. We've got one person in India as well, and that's some projects we've got out there. I'm actually in Manchester, and I end up taking the train quite a lot down to London. So why solar? Someone today said, the world is on fire, and this sign makes me think, can I borrow that sign? Like, oh, can I take it? There's 10 minutes left. I think of that as the doomsday clock. Like, we've got to do stuff. We've got to make stuff happen. So, we focus on solar. I think this map's quite powerful. It kind of shows what's the cheapest source of energy in the world. And once you get to 2030, it's basically solar everywhere, apart from maybe like Norway or Sweden, where I'm pretty sure that must. Oh. I thought it might be hydro, but yeah, solar's getting cheaper, and there's going to be more and more of it around. You can see this already happening. There's loads of solar being built. There's loads of wind being built. My career started in the wind industry, so I'm still, it's a little part of me that I want to see the wind carry on going. This is from Ember, who we sometimes share an office with, so I trust them. That's great, we're building loads of solar, loads of wind, but weather starts to become a problem. There's going to be lots of grids around the world that are now dependent on the weather systems that are coming around. We're getting big fluctuations in energy. It's so different from, having a coal power station, having a gas power station. So that's the reason why we've focused on solar. So our main thing is Quartz Solar. This is a UK solar forecast. You can scan that, and it should log you onto the app, and you'll be able to get in if you want to. We've been taking lots of satellite images, lots of weather data, training our ML model called PVNet, and then we show it. There's an API. There's a nice front end that you can log into and see. We're delivering that to NESO, so that's the UK TSO, and there's a few other customers as well that we use there. We really believe in this probabilistic values as well. It's never certain, and how the users use that probabilistic values is important. NESO have used our solar forecast in their demand forecast and shown a kind of an 8% improvement in accuracy. Thank you. And they've also used it in a reserve setting. project where it can be shown to save 100 megawatts of reserve, so you don't have to have that 100 megawatts on. And that can, you can start to like calculate rough CO2 figures with those amount, and we think it's like 200,000 tons of CO2 a year. For me, that's so important. When I joined maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it was always like, oh, we're going to do a solar forecast, but what's the impact? What's it going to happen? And starting to get those numbers out is important. It's impactful. You know, we can then work on the right things. Something we've been working on recently is a Manchester Prize, and that is to specifically forecast satellite images, and then we put the predicted satellite images into PVNet, and it's a lot of data with all these satellite images. They're every 5 minutes, and getting them all together and getting them in the right way and using them. It's shown we've kind of given a 5% improvement by using that method. So I've had an ML engineer called James who's been working on that for a year, and it's, you know, now it's starting to pay off, which is great. I got a video of that. So this is the true satellite images, and then the cloud forecasting ones on the right hand side. And I love looking at them. They're fascinating, and you see the different weather patterns and different things, and probably notice it's a bit more blurry on the right hand side, and that's definitely one of our challenges is, you know, do we not want it blurry? Does that actually capture some sort of uncertainty? It's an interesting problem to have. Oh no. There we go. Oh, yeah, so here are some of the challenges. It's big data. The best definition I heard for big data was like, it's not on your laptop. So we've just got loads of it, and we fill it up, and we have to remove stuff and make sure we've got enough. And it's tough, and Sol is somewhere here. He's managing all of that, and it's a lot of work to do. A lot of that data isn't open source. The weather, the satellite, the live satellite, and that makes it hard for the community to kind of take part, and we want the community to take part, so we'll come back to that at the end. Training these models is hard, it takes a lot of power, there's a lot of data that we have to get in the right format, and it takes time. And I mentioned about blurriness, and that's kind of one of the other challenges we've had. I'll do a quick demo. I was debating if I have time. Oh. So we do a site level forecast as well. So we've been doing a national one, but we also do a site level. This is completely free and open source, and anyone can use it. And who knows Python here? Any hands up? I can just paste that. And this is where we are right now, in Brussels. And I should be able to just do that, and it will produce a solar forecast of here right now for the next 48 hours. That's taking in weather, open source weather kind of inputs. If you slightly change some inputs, then you end up with a few lines, and maybe that gives some uncertainty and things. I think I ran that about an hour ago while sitting in the audience. We launched this last year at POSDEM. Rachel, you were part of that talk. And it's great. Try it out. Let us know. Let us know if it works. Should work all over the world. And it's cool. So I mentioned that problem of the weather data is private. We can't share that with our open source contributors. That makes it hard to develop models together. Thank you. We've we've opened a new project called Open Data PV, where we're trying to train that PV network, PVNet, on completely open source weather data, so GFS and the free ECMWF. And we want to expand. We've done the UK, we do some work in India, but we want to expand everywhere. We want to produce a solar forecast for lots of countries around the world. And we want people to be involved, and we need like data engineers and ML engineers and all the way along the pipeline. So this will almost definitely be a GSOC project. There'll be hopefully lots of other people that will be involved as well. We rewrote our ML pipeline because the old one we had was really hard and really bad, and it's been great to just do it and get feedback instantly from the community. We've got more contributors to the new one than the old one already, and it's only been alive for 2 months or so. So it was worth redoing it, and we're excited by that. I've already said get involved. We've been trying to do some office hours so people can join, like a live stream, and we just talk and ask questions. And I know Emily's been involved organising that, so thank you, Emily. And just investing in the community, trying to get people talking and working together. I said I'd only talk for 10 minutes. I think it's 11 minutes. So got some time for questions, if anyone has. The question is, what kind of model architecture for this one, PVNet? It's a late fusion multimodal model, so there's some CNN layers and it kind of all comes together basically. We've tried a few other different ones, and yeah, there's.
Can you expand on the trial of the other ones?
Yes, we've tried on some very simple. Let me repeat the question. Can I expand on the other ones that we've used? We start with XGBoost and something like that that just can't give the performance. Basically, we've tried some transformers, quite similar to what we have at the moment. There's a few of it. It's almost like tweaking different things, and in some ways, doing these things actually give a bigger input than tweaking that model by, you know, forecasting or, you know, using more weather data. So it's a little bit of like, where do we invest time in? Yeah. Any other questions?
Okay, so once you know solar power forecast, how do you use that information that you get down the
Yeah, so I guess there's from a house. Oh, I'll repeat the question. How do people actually use the solar forecast? Like, why are we bothering doing it? There's from a grid stability point of view, you need to know, you know, roughly where the solar is going to be in the next few hours, so you can plan to put on other plants and things like that. Otherwise, you have to have a lot of reserve, a lot of spinning reserve. A lot of plants just being at 50% just in case it changes. So if you can provide a better forecast, you can have less of those reserve power plants. On a domestic level, if you know how much solar there is going to be, you know, you plan how much am I going to charge my battery overnight, when am I going to charge my EV, thinking about dynamic prices and things like that. Does that make sense? Sorry, we can talk later though.
Okay. You know who's using this in the real world? I mean Victron are using a solar prediction model, but I don't know if it's yours or somebody else's, or how many of these things are out there.
I'd say the question is, how many people are using it, or who's using it?
Who's using it, and like, you know, Demo, yes, I guess, which ones you can tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, we have a few. Yeah, NISO are using it, that's all public. There's a few other kind of bigger players that are using it. The site level one, we've only recently. It's quite hard to track, right? So it's more kind of like any open source project. It's trying to, you know, gauge those stories and understand how people found it useful. So, yeah. Time's up. But I'll be around and you know, we can talk more definitely. Thank you, everyone.